You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked on to the Texas Rangers. Here we are on bracket day, the most wonderful March Madness day, first day of the year. Actually, was there a game yesterday as you're listening to this Thursday? I feel like there was like the play-in games.
Thursday is the play-in games. And Okay. Then Friday, today or tomorrow, depending on the timing here, is
This will be Friday for sure.
Okay. So today is when the North Texas Mean Green Fighting Eagles of Denton, Texas, take down Purdue.
The, what are they? Mountain West? No, they're not Mountain West.
Big Ten? UNT is Conference USA.
Oh, I thought you said Big Ten. I was like, are you just trying to throw a conference to screw me up? Anyway, we are inspired by brackets, and like literally every other podcast, we're doing a bracket thing. This one is going to be more fun than any other podcast brackets. My favorite podcast, Sports with Katie Nolan, always does what they call third month crazy time, where they just pick random things and like do brackets on them. And last year it happened like literally like right after the quarantine. And so they had a Quarantunes matchup, and the song that ended up winning that, which is still literally my favorite podcast episode ever, was the I Can't Feel My Face by The Weeknd, which like at first was just like kind of like, ha, it was like still the early days. We didn't really know much about like coronavirus. And then like they're like, oh, it's just kind of funny because of the title. And they start like talking about the lyrics of like, I know she'll be the death of me, but at least we'll both be numb. Like she said, don't worry about it. Like it's the story of a guy falling for a girl who has COVID. He comes over. She says, don't worry about it. They both catch COVID and die, which is just was absolutely hilarious. And I still go back and listen to it occasionally. Every time I hear that song now, I can't think of literally anything else besides this. But our matchup is going to be a lot of fun. It's what if there was a single elimination tournament in baseball? What are your thoughts on a single elimination? Could it be closest to what we had as a postseason last year, which honestly, even with the three-game series, I kind of loved. The initial idea I hated. I was like, this is so stupid. This destroys the integrity of baseball. But then the first day of the playoffs happened, I'm like, there's so much baseball. Maybe the integrity was worth it to sacrifice if we can get this. I don't know that I've gone back there, but it still was nice to have a whole lot of baseball on that meant something.
It was a really, really fun 3 days, but I would not trade the regular season being more important for it. But in a single game elimination tournament, managers would be so much more important. Like it would take on the importance of like a college baseball manager does, where there's just a lot more to think about. Like you might have, like if Walker Buehler goes out and he throws the top of the first inning and the Dodgers score six in the bottom of the first, a smart manager takes him out, right? And like, so they can use him in the single elimination game the next day. Like there would just be a lot more variables, especially with the pitching staff, because your bats, you're probably just going to throw out your best nine every day. There's no off days here. But with your pitching staff, there's a lot more that can go into it, and you can really get creative. And so, I mean, good managers are really going to have a huge impact in that scenario.
Yes, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Grant, I'm going to need your help on this because we didn't do a whole lot of planning, which was the whole point, was this to be very haphazard and stupid. But I just need you to write down these matchups as we're going through them. We'll be going, I need there to be 16 teams. It works so much better with 16 teams. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to give the top seeds in each league a bye. So that will be the Dodgers and Tampa Bay. And we're just going to go straight up record-wise. And if the two teams are tied in record, then I will just pick a tiebreaker that is random and based on my feelings about those teams. So Tampa Bay Rays and Dodgers have a tie. The first game we're going in the AL, we're going to start with the worst team in the AL. Shocker, it's the Rangers against the team with the best remaining record, which is the Minnesota Twins tied with the Oakland A's. I'm going to go with the Twins just because I don't want to get that. If we can avoid an interdivision matchup in the first round, I feel like we should. So here we are. We got the Twins and the Rangers. So the Twins last year.
Well, hold on now. The math doesn't work. The math doesn't work on this, because if we have 28 teams, right, with two byes, 14 are going to move on, and then. No, I'm dumb. The math does work. We're good.
Okay, I was like, I think by just knocking that off, then we're good enough. If we're we good. Just had add one more team, just one more team. Screw it. What's one more bad team? Actually, never mind. That would take away the Rangers. But like in this hypothetical scenario, it would be very beneficial. But
math is hard.
Do we want to go with the 2021 versions of these teams or last year's versions?
I think we got to go 21. I mean, look, it's spring training. It's a new year. Got to go with the season preview.
You're right. We do. And actually, we'll have all kinds of good season preview stuff for you. But now we're going to go with this team. All right. So we got the single game elimination. Obviously, we're going to go with the ace, Kyle Gibson, starting this game. I don't know. I feel like it is a playoff matchup. So, like, no matter what, the Twins, it's going to be rough for them. They haven't won a single playoff game, since, what, the 90s?
They've lost, like, 18 straight, right? There's, like, something crazy like that.
Something absolutely stupid. They got swept by the Astros, who were not good last year.
Yeah.
The Astros had a losing record in the playoffs, or in the regular season, because they lost to the Rangers at the end of the season. People forget that.
And, you know, I heard that they cheated, too. I don't know. I heard they cheated
real bad. But I'm curious, who do you think would be their starter for this? They've got Jose Berríos. Kenta Maeda has been really good. Jay Happ is now there. Devin Smeltzer is listed as a starter. I don't remember him being a starter. But I also don't know that much about Devin Smeltzer or the Minnesota Twins, because they might be the team that I think the least about in baseball. He did not have a very good 2020. Wait, gosh, stop it, MLB. They keep bringing up spring training stats, and I'm like, he did not do very well. He has a 15 ERA this year. Wait a minute. That's not the regular season. But no, he actually did not have a great regular season in 2020 either. A 6.75 ERA, only one start, seven games. So he's kind of a tweener starter.
This is the top Devin Smeltzer podcast.
This really is. But I think Kenta Maeda would probably start for them, all of his experience. Their lineup is still stacked. They still got a really good bullpen. Mitch Garver, Sano is playing first base now. Brent Rooker is getting close. He's a guy who hit like 470 in college. You want to go look up the crazy college stats. Go look up Brent Rooker at Mississippi State. His stats were absolutely unreal. And he was a first-round pick.
Trevor Larnach, too.
Mm-hmm. Him too. They still got Josh Donaldson, Luis Arraez. Anderson Simmons is now in Minnesota, in case you didn't know that. Jorge Polanco as well. But Byron Buxton's still there doing his thing. Nelson Cruz is still going to be having a 950 OPS until he's 60. And then he'll have a 925 OPS until he's 80. But I don't know. I feel like this would be what the Twins need to break their streak. And then maybe they win the World Series next year. Because something very stupid would have to happen for the Rangers to win this game. I think I got to pick the Twins to win this game. Who are you picking?
Well, I feel like we need to come to a group decision here, because I cannot come up with two brackets.
Okay.
I would have said, you know, I mean, the Twins are good, Rangers are bad, but it's the playoffs, so the Twins lose by default. So I would go Rangers.
What is the stupid thing that's going to need to happen for the Rangers to win it?
Kyle Gibson revenge game.
All right, I buy it. Rangers move on.
There we go.
All right, the next matchup. Let's go back to my standings. Okay.
It'd be A's and Tigers.
Tigers.
Do we need to talk about this?
It's pretty easy. The A's win. Somehow, like, the Rangers are bad, but I feel like the Tigers are worse. And the A's have done well in single-game playoff games, right?
Of course, yes. Very well. They're not playing the Yankees here, so they're fine.
Yeah, that should be fine. All right, now we got next on the docket. We've got the Chicago White Sox and the Boston Red Sox. The Battle of the Sox. which sock color is the best? I think it's the White Sox. I mean, I still don't trust Boston's pitching staff, and I don't trust their lineup to come through. I think it's pretty clearly the White Sox here.
As much as I'd like to see La Russa get managed around in circles, it's the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, he still probably will, but...
It just won't matter.
It won't matter. Yeah, I mean, Lance Lynn's going to throw a complete game here.
Maybe, and Martin Perez is throwing a complete game the other side and just giving up 12 runs.
A 12-run complete game. They're actually going to run rule it after the fifth inning. That's how bad this is going to get. All right, this has been very fun so far. Let's see, what do we got next? We've got another team. Oh, I didn't realize that Cleveland and the White Sox have the same record, but I feel like the sock on sock matchup was just too much fun not to go with it.
The people needed it.
The people needed the socks. So we've got the Cleveland baseball team versus the Baltimore Orioles. Who is even left in Cleveland? It's Shane Bieber. So I guess Shane Bieber is going game one.
Well, hold on now. Hold on. Let's throw a wrinkle in here. Because I think Terry Francona is going to be smart, but I think he's going to outsmart himself. He's going to go, we play Baltimore this round, and if we win, we probably play the White Sox because this bracket is not seated correctly on my sheet here. So we're just going in the order we go with. So he's going to go, I'm going to save Shane Bieber for game two against the White Sox and treat this as a de facto bye. And you know what's going to happen? The Cleveland baseball team are going to score maybe one run, and Baltimore's going to scrape across two, and Baltimore wins.
Whew! That's a big upset. You know, I can buy it. I guess definitely see them being eaten up there, and I think the winning run is going to come late from Baltimore, and it's going to be a ball hit up the middle where Francisco Lindor could have played it, but whoever's playing shortstop for this year is not going to play it, just as an extra spite to them. And you know who I think is going to hit that game-winning RBI? I think it's going to be off a lefty. I think it's going to be Hanser Alberto.
They're going to trade for him again?
Is he not there? I pulled up their 2020 baseball reference. That's why. Yes, that is my bold prediction that Hanser Alberto will go back to the Baltimore Orioles just to spite them.
Would you like to hear a simple baseball philosophy I have?
I do. Would like.
If you want to score runs, don't trade your transcendent superstar mashing shortstop.
That's a bold thing, but you know, I think I agree with you there. I think that's the best way to be good at baseball is to have good baseball players. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna look more at this bracket. Probably go a little bit faster because I didn't realize how long this is gonna take. But screw it, it's Friday. We're having fun. And, you know, we're uber, uber prepared. So, right after this word from our sponsors, we're going to go back into this very highly structured debate about who would win in a single elimination baseball tournament between all Major League Baseball teams. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything that you need to know about the Rangers, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Last week, I was on there to talk with Peter about the Rangers opening up to full capacity. Great dude, great podcast. Y'all should definitely go check it out. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Alrighty, we are back to talk about this very super serious sports bracket by the biggest sports experts in all of sports history, Grant Schiller and Bryce Patrick. And I completely forgot where we left off because, of course.
We've got the Yankees and the Angels.
All right.
What are your thoughts here?
Yankees and Angels. I think that Shohei Ohtani goes game one. And I think he pitches immaculately. And I think he also DHs because that's how desperate the Angels are.
And you know how happy that would make me?
Dude, I don't know why they don't do it. I don't know why. Pitchers hit in other leagues, and this one can actually hit. This is the only pitcher that can actually hit, and they don't let him hit. Like, is it illegal to have a pitcher be your DH? I don't think it is.
No. You mean you just don't have a DH. You forego it. So, but then the problem is when he gets pulled, then your relief pitchers would be in the lineup.
That does make a little bit of sense. But I still hate it. If he throws a perfect game, then like it's not an issue.
That's true. You're making good points here. That's the math checks out.
I don't know about a perfect. I bet he goes 7 innings though. So therefore they can just have a pinch hitter. And then I feel like you should just be allowed to like have him like be the DH and also pitch. Like it just makes me mad for Shohei Ohtani alone.
Just make a rule for him. I'm okay with that.
There will be more people. Gosh, who's the guy in Tampa Bay?
Who's Brendan McKay.
Yeah. I don't know how good a hitter he is. I know he's a darn good pitcher because he made the Rangers look stupid. Not that that's a super high bar, but like I've seen him make other teams look stupid as well. So if Shohei can do it, then like maybe he can do it like 70% as well, but like maybe be like 70% more healthy. Anyway, yeah, I think the Yankees big bats are silenced by the great Shohei Ohtani. Now I can't use him again in game two of this tournament, so they might be screwed there, but they still have a Mike Trout and a Shohei Ohtani to hit. So things might just be okay.
And we'd get to see playoff Mike Trout finally. All it took is every single team in the league qualifying.
I think if we did that, then the Angels would have a pretty good shot at making the playoffs. But that might be what it'll take. Yeah, that's where we are. Okay. We're now to 32-win Toronto Blue Jays, which completely forgot that they finished third in the AL with one of the few winning records that we have left. We got them versus, do we even have any more
Seattle
left after this?
Nope.
Seattle Mariners. All right.
Yeah, so Toronto brings up their young guys, and Seattle decides to keep them down for another year so that they can have them in 2036. Toronto wins.
Yep, I buy that. We have a fully healthy Vladdy Jr. So, game changer. Absolute game changer. Also, George Springer becomes an absolute monster in the playoffs, so that's definitely over for them. Yeah,
speaking
we are down.
Of George Springer, we've got Houston and Kansas City.
We do. Houston sucks. Kansas City wins. Mike Minor knows how to do things in the playoffs in Kansas City. He won a World Series there last time, and I don't like the Astros.
Deal. All right, lightning round. Let's go through the NL. I've got the matchups here. Lightning
round.
All right,
round. You do? Man. God
San Diego, Pittsburgh.
All right. Yeah, San Diego. Done deal. Doesn't matter. There's literally no scenario unless the stadium explodes and like all of San Diego is destroyed. That's the only way that this happens. Even then, I still think that you call up every minor leaguer that's not on the roster, they might still be the Pirates.
Gregory Polanco sends a poison pizza to Fernando Tatis's bedroom at the hotel. Michael Jordan
pulls a Utah Jazz. Alrighty, yeah, that one's definitely the easiest here. All right, who we got?
Atlanta, Arizona.
I don't know. Arizona's frisky and wily, but I think Atlanta pitchers are just too good, especially for game one. And that lineup is still redonkulous. Atlanta wins.
Chicago and Colorado.
Colorado needs something to believe in. I'm sorry, Cubs, but I'm picking Colorado in the upset. Trevor Story has a 5 home run game that carries them to a win. And then he leaves in the summer.
But not to the Rangers. Because the Rangers. That would require money. Yeah.
That would require money and commitment to being a good baseball team. So, but he's going to go somewhere nicer. Somewhere with a farm upstate. But probably not in this state. Because we're as far upstate as it gets in Major League Baseball. We are the team upstate, but it's not a nice farm team. I guess technically we are a farm team. So
yeah,
maybe the analogy works.
Okay. Right.
What's our next matchup?
St. Louis and Washington. So here's the thing, though. So Washington was bad last year, but here's where the ace scenario comes in, where St. Louis is probably the better team, but Washington gets to throw Scherzer. in a one-game spot.
They do. They also have two other starters that are pretty decent. And I'm not betting against Juan Soto. I've seen what he can do in the playoffs. I mean, they don't have Anthony Rendon anymore, but, like, they still got a lot of really good baseball players. They still got, I was about to say Trevor Story.
Trey Turner.
Another T word that starts with his first name. But, yeah, I think this is going to suck for the Cardinals, but I don't see you beating Max Scherzer in the playoffs. I mean, I know they have a ninth lineup now, but, like, it's still basically just, like, two main guys. It's not that deep.
And I don't like the Cardinals anyways.
Yeah, I don't like them either. Their top two guys are very good, but Nationals just won a World Series not that long ago. They know how to do things in when their backs are against the wall. Anyway, next matchup.
Miami-New York.
Miami, because low Mets.
Okay. Cincinnati-Philadelphia, and watch your answer here.
Cincinnati-Philadelphia? Why do I have to watch my answer?
Because my dad grew up in Cincinnati, so I'm the Reds are my second team here.
Oh. Well, I don't know. I just don't trust Cincinnati. I'm sorry.
Wow.
They did well last year. Still got some good pieces.
Did they though?
They made the playoffs, so technically I'm legally required to say they did well.
Okay.
But the Phillies need something. I mean, nothing's going well in Philadelphia sports except for the 76ers doing well. But, I mean, Joel Embiid just got hurt. So I feel like if any Philadelphia people are listening to this, which if you are, props to you. You are an outlier. But that one person from Philadelphia who's randomly listening to this podcast needs this. So Phillies win.
We got him. We got him or her. Milwaukee, San Francisco.
San Francisco. I think Joey Bart. Is Joey Bart playing yet? Is he in the majors yet?
He was a little bit last year, but Posey's back, so maybe, maybe not.
Well, is it? No, it's an odd year. Nope. So I got to pick against him.
Okay.
If it was even year, I could claim even year magic, and I would, but it's an odd year. So sorry, Giants. You know how this works.
We're on to the Sweet 16 here.
Oh, my gosh.
Texas and Oakland.
It's Oakland.
It is. Like,
it's not really a contest.
If you listen to this podcast, you know the Rangers are bad.
Ellis is going to have a 7-hit game against the Rangers. Two of those are going to be triples. Two of those are going to be home runs. And three of them are going to be doubles.
You don't think he's going to give up one of the doubles to get the cycle? Just stop it first? No? Okay.
No. Because he wants to beat the Rangers as badly as possible. Because they hurt his feelings. And they hurt mine by letting him go.
I'm not even going to give you the chance to answer this one. I'm just going to pencil in the answer now. Chicago White Sox, Baltimore Orioles. Chicago White Sox. They're moving on. We're good.
Do we remember to get the Tampa Bay in there?
Yes. Oh, yeah. They're coming.
Okay.
Then we got the Angels against the Blue Jays. What are you thinking here?
I think it's going to be a slugfest no matter what. I think Mike Trout has a 3-home run game. And Shohei Ohtani has a 1-home run game, so much less spectacular than the other game, but still solid. I think Justin Upton also makes an appearance and does some damage on the scoreboard. So I think the Angels will win it something like 10-8 or 10-9.
And they burned Ohtani and Bundy now. So the late eight round is going to be tough pickings for them.
Yeah.
Especially since they are going to face.
We knew that anyway.
That's true. Especially since they're going to face Tampa Bay, who's beating Kansas City with relative ease.
Yeah.
And probably doesn't even have to use any of their top arms. They can just throw a bullpen day if they want here.
Which, I mean, that is their top arm, though.
That's true. Moving to the NL, San Diego and Atlanta. Does Chris Archer still count? Does Ryan Yarbrough count?
I don't know that Ryan Yarbrough
counts. Charlie Morton's gone, and Blake Snell's obviously gone, and Brent Honeywell is still kind of hurt, and Brendan McKay is still hurt. No, I don't think they have any starters. Zero starters.
but they don't need it. Not for this tournament. This wild tournament would be a lot of fun, hypothetically.
San Diego and Atlanta in a powerhouse matchup here.
Ooh, we got San Diego and Atlanta? Man, how did we get this in the second round?
And well, because the seeding is very inaccurate.
Wow, who seeded these? Wow, I got some beef with whoever seeded these. They really should have done more preparation, asked the fans, not just thought of this idea an hour and a half ago and then gone with it willy nilly. But damn.
So,
and this is Atlanta's first game.
Two here. No, this is their second. They beat Arizona.
Oh, they
so
did?
Game
okay.
Two here. We've probably got Snell against Anderson. So Ursaroka, it could be. I don't know. I think San Diego is the perfect team for a one and out tournament because they play hard and they have like 20 aces on their team. So I think San Diego moves on.
I think so too. San Diego is going to go deep in this, unless they have to keep playing these top teams. Which, man, I hope the seeds get better and get more prepared and change. Not that they're not already set. We're just going to plow through this.
It's very scientific. Mm-hmm.
We are scientists, first and foremost.
And speaking of aces, Colorado is getting just absolutely destroyed by Steven Strasburg.
That's a fact.
Then we have Miami and Philadelphia. So we have Miami, who's not particularly good, facing Philadelphia, who's already burned Aaron Nola, and I guess is going to go with Zach Wheeler for like 5 1/3 and then turn it over to
a mediocre bullpen.
Tommy Hunter and Hector Neris.
I will not have you besmirch the great Tommy Hunter on this podcast.
You see, I don't even know if he's still there. He was like their best arm last year outside of Neris, but
former Bama and Rangers great.
I'm gonna say Philadelphia jumps out to a 5-0 lead and they bring in the bullpen and Miami wins 6-5.
Ooh, that's spicy. Philly, that one Philly fan was hanging on. They've turned off the podcast now.
Look, we gave them as much as we could. You know, we gave them some leeway. I just hope that they didn't make it this far.
Yeah, I hope so too. Take care. Do some self care and listen to some Philly centric podcasts of positive people. I don't know how many of those there are, but I'm sure there's one or two. Go find them and then tell me, and then I can not listen to them. But so, I agree. Fishies, move on.
The next matchup, like we don't need to look at this. We don't need to talk about it. We saw it play out last year.
Disagree.
Milwaukee and Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm sorry, Brewers.
This is a tough one. No, it's not. No, it's not. Dodgers so, win.
Oakland against the Chicago White Sox. We got Brindley.
Are we in the Elite Eight?
We are. The man himself, TLR.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to preview this Elite Eight. We're going to blow through it. We're going to talk very in-depth about these hypothetical things that are definitely going to happen right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. We've been telling you about the best-tasting protein bar in the market for a while. Built Bar is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all their bars. Now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best. Can you do me a favor and tell me what day this will be?
March 19th. Yeah.
March 19th. All right. So this matchup will be caramel brownie versus double chocolate.
Ooh.
This is a tough one. That's
a championship round level
matchup. I know, right? Like, this is a Sweet 16 match. I don't know how this got there. There's not a bad flavor in there. It's not as bad as the other first round matchup from the 10th. German chocolate versus salted caramel.
The committee really, really messed up there.
And then peanut butter brownie versus raspberry in the first round, like 2 days before that, on that same side of the bracket. Like, that was a big, big rough one. Meanwhile, coconut puff gets to stroll on in. Same with coconut almond. Like, coconuts and almond. I was upset. I had some words with the committee. But, I have to go with caramel brownie. Like, I'm a big chocolate guy, and their chocolate stuff is all great. But, like, you got the caramel, the brownie, and the outer chocolate. It's too good for me not to move it on. Double chocolate, they got a first round bye. They made it to the Sweet 16. Be happy about your tournament. You did well. Go home knowing you did your best. But you went up against a true champion. Karen O'Brien is going to go far in this. And if it doesn't, I'm going to have some words with all you voters. The voters who did not respect my opinion. But
I don't know. I'd go double chocolate, caramel brownie, single chocolate.
Hmm. All right. Well, we'll agree to disagree, but you'll end up being wrong. It doesn't matter. It's fine. But go to builtbar.com or built_bar on Twitter. Remember to use that promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will be the best tasting protein bar ever. All right, we are on to the Elite Eight, the elitist of eights. We're back in the AL with, I believe we have Oakland still left standing. Again,
we have Oakland against the White Sox.
Man, we saw how this played out, but I think something turns out different. I think this year, with the addition of Lance Lynn, it's just going to be too much. I think that Chicago's offense is going to be better than the A's. I don't trust the A's offense anymore. I mean, they got two guys on their corner infield that are pretty good. But I just don't trust it to be as deep.
Fair enough. Okay. So the White Sox into the Final Four. We've got the Ohtani and Bundy-less, at this point, Angels losing to the Tampa Bay Rays, clearly. And then we go up to...
I don't know. I mean...
Who's starting for the Angels?
But just, do you trust Tampa Bay? Like, I don't trust them this year.
Okay, so the Angels are playing their third game in three. They just won like a 10-9 game, you said. So they've burned a lot of their bullpen. They burned Ohtani. They burned Bundy. Tampa Bay's only played one game, a relatively easy win against the Royals. I think the situation plays all Rays. This is like the team who got the double bye in the ACC tournament playing against a team playing their third in 3 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the situation stacks up for the Rays here.
No, I think you're right. I think now that we've talked about it logically, as this podcast has always been logic first in this hypothetical tournament that's absolutely happening, I think you're right. The Rays do move on.
Jumping to the NL here, we've got our dads, the San Diego Padres, against the Washington Nationals. And I don't care what you say. I'm not letting the dads go.
Letting them go either. But you said you're not letting them go on, or?
No. They're going on.
Yeah.
I'm not letting them go out.
No, I don't think they are either. I mean, I think this will be a really great game. I mean, it's one that I'm really looking forward to watching in this hypothetical world that we've created. Man, in that hypothetical world, I would make the Rangers better as well.
I agree.
If I had control over this. But this is a realistic hypothetical world. You know, we're very concerned about the realism first and foremost. So I think the dads are just too much and they move on. Into then, the Final Four, right?
That's correct. And then finally here, we have another big mismatch. We have the poor little Miami Marlins against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Man, they should be really happy they made it to the Elite Eight. I mean, some idiot seeded this, and they got they just waltzed their way in to a matchup with the Dodgers, who absolutely demolished them. I think it's something like 12-0.
Yeah, but you know they're Cinderella. They can hang up the Sweet Six or the Elite Eight banner, and that'll be something their fans treasure forever.
They absolutely should. Don't talk about how you got there. Don't talk about who you played to get there. Just hey, we made it there. Oh, we lost to the Dodgers. Yeah, we didn't have a chance, but we made it this far. Yeah.
Okay, so are you going to continue to ride the Tony La Russa train against Kevin Cash?
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay,
I think they're just a deeper team. I trust their offense way more. Like, they just have way more consistent plus offensive players. And I don't think Randy Arozarena is going to pull a 2020.
Fair enough. He might.
And even if he does, like, the rest of the team, I mean, they've traded the great Nate Lowe. How could they get as far as they did without Nate Lowe?
That's a good point.
Future haver of a 10,000 OPS. Or I'll be mad.
I can't argue that.
So, and Kevin Cash is definitely going to outmanage him. He's going to outmanage the crap out of him, but it's not going to matter because his players are just going to be that much better. But it will definitely matter in this championship game.
So against, now
we got.
Well, I don't know, because now we're moving to two managers who are not well known for their in-game strategies and adjustments. Jace Tingler and the Daddies against Dave Roberts and the Dodgers.
But have either of these managers had DUIs?
Not that we know of.
They also claimed publicly to be very important baseball guys. Though they are very important baseball guys.
They just haven't claimed it. They're humble.
They are. And I appreciate that about them. And I think that makes them a better manager. You know, you can tell the players to, you know, check their ego. And they can see that you've checked your ego because you're not out there spouting about how you're a very important baseball guy. You're like, I'm just a regular important baseball guy.
Okay. So we're looking at this now, and based on who's already probably thrown for each team, the Dodgers still have Trevor Bauer on the mound
against either Paddock
or Musgrove.
Have the Dodgers even had to use any of their...
against Milwaukee and Miami? Let's be honest. Against Milwaukee, they probably threw, like, Dustin May, and against Miami, they probably threw Tony Gonsolin, and they're still fine. And so they still have Bueller, Kershaw, and Bauer in the holster.
They probably do. And that's unfair.
That is unfair. So, okay, I guess the Dodgers just win then. Like,
yeah.
Are we going to say they... Let's just say they burn their best arm. They burn Bueller here. And then they tandem Bauer and Kershaw in the World Series against the White Sox, who, at this point, are throwing Lynn on short rest.
But, I mean, Lynn on short rest is basically the same thing, I feel like. He's going to do the exact same thing. He's going to go out there, throw 120 pitches, give up 1-3 runs, and go about 7 innings.
I think, okay, so for me, I look at this, I think Lynn is fine. He has a good game. Bauer and Kershaw are obviously good.
I want to go back to that NL game. I wasn't quite decided to count the dads out.
Go ahead.
Who would the dads be pitching? Who would they be starting?
It would probably be either Chris Paddock or Joe Musgrove, maybe Denelson Lamet.
I would go Lamet.
Well, I don't know. I just don't know if he's going to be healthy at this point. Because we played a full season at this point.
You're right. Who is their other guy, the Morejon?
Yeah.
Is he available?
He would be available, yes.
And the Dodgers had struggles with good left-handed pitchers, and I really like Morejon. I think he'll make another step this year.
You can't pick against the Dodgers.
I want to so badly, but I just can't.
All right.
Yeah, it's the Dodgers.
So this championship game, I'm interested in your opinion. I personally think the Dodgers win simply because Bauer and Kershaw both being available to tandem takes the game out of Dave Roberts' hands because he can just go Bauer for 5 and Kershaw for 4, whereas Lynn won't be able to go a full 9 on short rest, and we're going to have to watch Tony La Russa manage a bullpen in 2021. And so the Dodgers win it late for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Man. Wait, where did the Yankees get out? I don't even remember.
You eliminated them right away because Shohei Ohtani threw a perfect game with 2 tanks.
I stand by it. I stand by it 100%. That is our wonderful hypothetical one game. Man, I would love to see this so much. There's literally a less than 0% chance of it happening, but that was a lot of fun.
I don't know. If Rob Manfred could find a way to put every team in the playoffs, he might just do it.
I mean, honestly, they're trying so many stupid things, like all the new rules with minor leaguers, which we might get into next week, or we might forget, or I might get into it sometime in the middle of this week as you're already listening to this. But you got some extra length in this episode for some extra goodness, extra hashtag analysis by 2 hashtag sports experts. Enjoy the NCAA tournament tonight. Any final parting thoughts on this wonderful experiment we tried?
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Like I said, enjoy the tournament. Don't forget to come back on Monday, as I will be another year older. I will be an old man of 27 by then. But until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.